something and everything. My name is Ezra Hill. My co-host Casey and I are going to be discussing a wide variety of topics from the perspective of two Midwestern middle-aged minds. We're not experts, just everyday ordinary people like you. We hope you might find our podcast inadvertently interesting and informative. Hopefully it'll amount to more than a hill of beans. Okay, guys, we're talking about nothing and everything today.
Right? Everything and nothing.
So, Lauren, do you like talking about, which do you like talking about better, nothing or everything?
Ooh, everything. Okay. I love the gossip.
You like the the juicy stuff.
I don't really consider us a gossip podcast.
Well, we are a podcast about nothing and everything, so it could be coming.
Maybe, but I don't think we've really entered the realm of gossip, number one, because I'm really against gossip.
Well, here's the thing is, you know, our podcast is society and culture. So if we were talking about, you know, the stuff that's going on with P. Diddy right now.
Oh. P. Diddy. Where is he at right now? Is he like been arrested or?
I don't know.
Do we know any more about that?
Yeah, no. I mean, he should be. Like, really? I'll tell you that. He should be. Oh, gosh.
Well, I don't know all the. I had heard his properties have been getting raided by the FBI, I think. Mm-hmm. And it has something to possibly do with underage sex parties or something. Is that right? Or I don't know what's
sex
going
rings.
On. Sex trafficking as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that's all I know. People that are speaking up about sexual abuse and, you know.
Is P. Diddy the next?
Being molested. What?
Is P. Diddy the next R. Kelly?
No, he is.
Or Michael Jackson?
No. What's his face that was?
Epstein.
Right, but R. Kelly and Michael Jackson did all that crazy
shit,
but too.
He did it on the level of, but like he's.
Oh, he's it's like on
that
Epstein?
It's on that level, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, so are we gossiping?
Are we?
I feel like that's like that's factual public knowledge.
All right.
Yeah. Like, I think.
Like, I'm not telling anyone about it.
Well, gossiping would be telling someone something that isn't their business. It'd be like me being like, Casey, can you believe what Lauren said to Max?
Oh. Oh, okay. That's
when it's
the
not
difference.
Any of our business. Right. You know? But anyways, okay, so. Today we're going to be talking about being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So who wants to kick that off? Lauren, you're a business owner, right? What's this mean?
Do you know what that means?
What, your
if
nose?
If you touch your nose.
Not me.
Does that mean? Oh, not you? What?
That means it's you.
Son of a bitch.
Okay, I can start it off. I'm an entrepreneur. I own a business, like a retail store. But we do workshop classes. So people come in, they paint, then they leave, which I think is really different than your guys' businesses. So I'm excited to see your guys' perspectives.
Wait, they leave?
Yep, they leave. They come.
That's good. You go in, then they leave.
Then they get out.
Get out. And then you're done.
Yeah.
Right. That's
nice.
And
then I take the night off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is the most challenging thing for you as far as being a business owner?
Ooh, right now staffing is very hard. Even though we do have a great team, but getting everybody's schedules, and I swear everybody wants the same day off all the time. So that's always an issue.
Is it like a weekend or is it, why does everybody want, what is there a popular day that you say like,
I feel like it just always falls that way. Mother's Day coming up, it's hard to staff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but Ezra's kids work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Both of them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My daughter does when she's home from school.
Yeah, so like in the summer and on breaks.
And how is she doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I feel bad because I really threw her into the fire. But
Lauren was like, one day
she figured it out.
One day Lauren was, I don't know where we were, but she was bitching because she needed workers. And then I started thinking, I was bitching because my kids need jobs. And I was like, oh, hey, I got an idea.
We have a solution.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ezra's son works for me a lot.
Okay.
At least once a week. So he's been very helpful. Mm.
Yeah. And as soon as he gets out for the summer, we're going to ramp it up. We're going to get him there going full time.
Yeah, we
could. I want him getting like 60 hours a week.
And health insurance.
So do you feel like, I mean, you're young to be self-employed. Do you feel like you have found security in that? Do you feel uneasy about it? Like, where are you at as far as making that choice at your age?
Yeah, I feel very uneasy about it. I think there's always the fear that we're going to go out of business or my business isn't going to be popular anymore. And then what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So, I always could go back to work. It's not like a crazy idea, but yeah, that would be, my life would be very different if I had to work a 9-to-5 for sure.
Yeah. So the board and brush, I would be worried, is this a trend, you know, that's trending right now? And will that trend come to an end? Or will you guys just have to get creative and bring a new product to the table?
Right. You know? Right. And that definitely has crossed my mind, that thought. I can't say that it hasn't. What's nice about board and brush is that we are a franchise. So there's 300 other people also in my same boat. So
yeah, because at some point, you know, you think, are we ever going to run out of live, laugh, and love?
Right, right, right. I mean, we do have we've transitioned now realistically, when the company started, those signs, all they did say was live, laugh, and love. And there would be signs you'd put on your wall. But now we do trays and that kind of stuff, more patterns.
Do you know what that kind of my favorite sign is? Running late's my cardio.
We don't have that sign in my shop.
What?
Do you have that in your house?
No, but I think I have it as a t-shirt.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm running late to my cardio.
No, it says running late is my cardio.
Oh, dear Lord. Casey, how long have you been self-employed?
Let's see here. I guess technically since I was 24.
Oh, yeah. So like me.
Mm-hmm. My first business was Music Box Productions. And, it was my first big girl experience where I had to go to a bank, get a loan, get my stuff, as far as all the equipment. And then I started hiring DJs. And, it's funny because I went into the bank and, told them, about this business I wanted to do. And they're like, well, go home and write up a business plan. I was like, oh, I got to do all that. Give me the money.
Right.
So anyways, I did Music Box Productions. And then.
Wait, that was your DJ name?
No, that was the company's name.
Oh, so you were a DJ for a company?
I owned the company.
Oh, did you hire other DJs?
Yeah. So we had me, but then if they needed somebody else, that was an option. But I did, remember when karaoke first came out? Like, it was a big deal. So I bought all that.
I thought karaoke has been around forever.
No, back when I went into it. So, go back 25 years ago, it was exploding. So I went into the bars, got them all set up. And then I also did, I would do, some actual DJing on, Peppers for their dance nights. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
I wish I could have seen that.
Oh my gosh. No, I did not. Once I had the boys and I was so busy as a mom, staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning, working in a club or doing things like that. I was tired. It was not going to happen. So then after that, I ended up going to the Appraisal Institute, became a certified appraiser, started that business, and then got my real estate license and got into that. And currently I still own Validity Appraisals, and then we own Trendify Realty. But my husband's taken the lead on the Trendify Realty. So if you guys ever need a good realtor, Mr. Aaron is amazing. And then if you need an appraisal, I can get your number. I mean, I'm not going to hit your number, but I'm going to tell you what your number is.
So when you were a DJ, did you take requests?
You know what? I did at first because I thought I want to make everybody happy. But then So for a wedding, yes. But then for weddings, I would say go ahead and have them lined up, right? But then in a club, it was like, no, like you have to shut it down because you're never going to get into your rhythm as a DJ and do what's best for everybody instead of one person.
So describe when you're in your full rhythm. Mm-hmm. Describe what that's like.
What like when I was doing that?
Yeah, when you said when you get into your rhythm, like what does that mean?
It's just like reading your crowd, reading, you know, the vibe, like looking at who's in the bar that night and what, you know, are they wanting to dance? You know,
like, so if the, if there's a lot of females and they're wanting to dance, so you're like, here comes Beyonce.
What was that? I would always get asked back then to what's that baby got back.
What was when you were DJing weddings, what was the most common requested song?
Oh my gosh. I got Friends in Low Places. I Will Survive. We Are Family.
Oh dear Lord.
I know. It was so like, those songs were so burnt out. The Electric Slide. I mean, it was like, I could do a wedding in my sleep because it was just like the, you know, you have such a old crowd and young people there that it's like, it's everything in the middle, right? It's your traditional wedding stuff. So that was like really boring for me, but it made good money. But so yeah, now I'm doing this with you guys. And, I was a server for, you know, probably like 4 years and basically just been self-employed. So, and it can be scary. I'm with Lauren because, you know, our industry with real estate, you know, if the economy is not doing well, if interest rates are up, we get slow and, you know, the anxiety never goes away during those time periods. And so like right now, things are not real good with real estate. And so, if I had to go get another job on the side, I would, you know, if it got that bad. But we always pray that we don't have to go like do that.
Let me ask you this. How do you guys feel when you guys get like a bad review or like a customer complaint?
Yeah.
Especially with your business's so relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm okay. Like if we didn't really do something that we should have done, and we're truly responsible for it, you know, I'm glad that it was brought to my attention. Obviously, I don't want it on my Google review, right? You know, I prefer them just to tell me so that way I can fix it. But it sucks because you want to be the best at what you do. But if anything, I take it as a learning experience and what I can do better.
What about for the people that you know are just like, whatever you do, you're not going to make them happy.
Oh,
and they try to
have those.
Ruin your life.
You always have
I've
that.
Had, yeah. I've had one.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. Who like went on Facebook.
Tell us more.
And oh, yeah.
Tell us more.
Well, I had a customer who came into my studio. It was actually my college graduation that night. And I was working in the morning, like putting everything together. And then I had a staff member who was going to take it over. I even talked to this lady who was in my workshop. She showed up an hour early for her reservation. So whatever. She made a clock project. I left to go to my college graduation. Mm-hmm. She made a clock project, emailed me that night that she hated it or whatever. Didn't like it. Didn't like how it turned out. I said, okay, I understand. I'll refund you or you can come back and make another one on us, obviously. And then she said that she doesn't want another one or something because it was she didn't have the time or whatever. So I was like, okay, like we could fix it for you. She was going back and forth with me. Like everything I said could not make her happy. Said, okay, it's fine. I'm okay. Like whatever at the end of the day. Then she emails me again on Sunday and she says, my clock is broken and I need a new one. And so it's Sunday. My college graduation was the night before. I don't reply. Monday, 7 a.m. Bad review my Facebook page. Oh. And then she's gone. She says, I will continue to, bash this business owner until I die, I think was even on her thing.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. And I even commented, I said, I'll fix it. Like I said, I would, but she refused to come back. So she just wanted to yell and scream.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I had a guy one time, I sold him a shirt and it didn't fit or something. I don't even remember. This was when I first started in with my clothing business, and he sent a message, and it said something like, "You're the reason why." Or no, he said, "People like you are the reason why the world sucks."
Yikes.
And it was like, you know, and I refunded his money and stuff, but it's kind of like in the used clothing business, you know, you're kind of taking a chance because I list something for what the, you know, if a tag says it's a large XL, sometimes I'll put measurements with it or whatever, but I try to do what I can, but you know, it was like a $10 shirt. I mean, it's right. Just, and it's like, really, dude?
Right.
But you know, the clothing business I just started a couple of years ago. So it's kind of like I'm just kind of getting into that. But yeah, there's always seems to be people that no matter what you do, they always find a reason to complain. And my construction business, you know, we tend to get blamed for things that we don't do. Mm-hmm. You know, like
in your construction business, that's a Wayland Construction, right?
Yeah. And basically, we're pretty much we do infrastructure work. But primarily what that is repairing water leaks. So like if you hear, you know, hey, this road's closed because of a water main break, like when an underground pipe leaks or breaks, they call us to come fix it. So that's kind of like the main thing that I do at my construction business. But like people, you know, we'll go and fix a leak and someone will call and say, hey, you cracked my driveway. And I'll go look at it. And like we were working like 60 feet away. Yeah, we weren't even on their driveway, but they're trying to get me to pay for them to have mm-hmm. a new driveway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we've had where someone will call and say, oh yeah, I drove by your crew working and a rock flew up and hit my windshield, you know, which probably didn't happen, you know, but it's just stuff like that, that kind of, it goes along with it. But, you know, my brother and I bought my business or our business probably about 6 or 7 years ago. It was a family business. My grandfather started it. And I remember before he died, he told me that, you know, you'll probably always have a job because people always need to have water. And we take care of the distribution of your drinking water from, you know, like it comes from a well or whatever, and it goes into a treatment center and then they pump it out underground to your house and businesses and all that. So, you know, in a sense, I've been blessed that I've been able to get into that line of work because it's
a need that will always be there, right?
It's a trade. It's a need. People always are going to have water. And it's hard to find people to do what we do because they don't teach you how to do it in school, in high school, or really even in college. And there's very limited trade schools out there that even touch on it because I didn't really learn anything that I do as far as working the mechanics and the hands-on labor part out in the field. I learned all that out in the field. Like I didn't learn any of that stuff in school really. But with, you know, I manage employees, that's which Lauren, you probably, you know what I'm talking about there. That's always a challenge as well. You know, managing employees, dealing with that. Like sometimes I feel like I spend way more time dealing with employee issues and trying to hire people, and because mm-hmm. it's very hard to find people to do what we do. Sometimes I feel like I spend more time doing that than I actually do anything else with the company. So it's definitely a challenge, you know, and it's
when now. Why is it so hard to find people to do that job?
Well, I mean, probably, I guess the best way to describe it in layman's terms is it sucks because it's hard work. You get muddy, you get wet, you're working outside year round. It's dangerous. Mm. You know, we're heavily regulated by OSHA. So we have to have a lot of OSHA training throughout the year.
Now what, like you just made my eyebrows like raise, why is it dangerous?
Well, there's, the risk of caving. So if you're working down a hole or a ditch and the bank caves off, like I forget where it is. I think And it's really gone up over the years, but I think it was like somewhere between 20 and 25 people are buried alive, essentially.
Oh, wow.
In the excavating business a year.
Oh, man.
And I think that number's even gone up a little bit. So you have to make sure you're using proper shoring and dish boxes. And that means basically putting metal braces in and things like that to keep the walls from caving in on somebody, which is a crazy story. And we've talked about, I don't know if I've told this before or not, but we've talked about the supernatural and God and spirits and things. But this is a little story. Like when I was very young, I was working in a ditch that was over my head. It was probably, I don't know, 7 foot deep or so. And I was working in the ditch, and I was crouched down for what I was doing. I was basically on my knees in the ditch working on a pipe, and I was down there by myself. And on the other side of the road were my other two guys that I was working with. They were in the hole across the road. Well, I was down there working, and I thought I heard someone call my name. And this is very weird. And I still think about it all the time, because I'm like, did I really hear that or what? But anyways, I thought I heard someone call my name. So I come up out of the hole and I walk over to the side of the road, and I'm like, what do you guys want? You know, what'd you need? And they're like, what? You know, they're like, we didn't say anything. And so I was like, okay. So I walk back over to the other side of the road to get back in my hole. Well, the whole side of the bank had caved in, and I would have been buried face down in this hole. Wow. And I don't know how soon those guys would have got to me. Meaning, I don't think I would have made it if that would have happened. And so that stuck with me. I was probably like, I don't know, 20, 21 years. I don't know. I was very young, but it's stuck with me ever since, because I constantly replay that in my mind. Did I really hear someone call my name, or what was that? What pulled me out of that hole before it came down? Because I might not be here right now if I hadn't got out of that hole.
Right.
So it's just that's one example of why it's so dangerous. But now that was back over 20 some years ago when safety standards were a little bit different back then. But now it's very, very strict, and we take safety very seriously. We have to stay in compliance, and we train. We usually do 2 or 3 OSHA training sessions a year, dealing with all. But to go along with all that training, it's expensive, you know. You know, we offer benefits, 401k, paid vacation. You know, there's so much to it. And we're a small business. Like I've probably got, you know, on average, we probably have around 15 to 20 employees throughout the year. And there's times when I would want to hire more than that, because I have so much work. I just can't. It's very, very hard to find people to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a challenge trying to find workers. And, you know, usually people do this for, you know, a certain amount of time, and then you get burnt out because it just wears you out physically. It can be stressful. And you have to think, you know, say it's, you know, we're on call 24/7 for emergency work. So if there's a water main break in the middle of February when it's 0 degrees out and it's, you know, 2 in the morning, you know, we get called out to fix it, you know, and you're going to probably be getting wet and all that stuff. So it's just, it's not very appealing to most people. Like a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people come in and say, oh yeah, man, I can do it. I'm not afraid of hard work. I can do this. I can do that. You know, it doesn't bother me. But then when you're actually in it, doing it, I mean, it sucks because there's so many times I've been in that position, you know, where it's like 2 in the morning and I'm dead tired and I'm cold and I'm wet and I want to go home. And I start running through my head, why am I doing this? You know, but it's,
And also at the end of the day, like with all of us, if the people that work for you, they don't show up.
Yeah.
You will always be the one that has to show up. Right. I mean, that's part of being a business owner.
Yeah.
I do have a question about when you do like the Board and Brush franchise, do they build in like 401ks or health benefits? Nothing. Okay. So when you do a franchise, that stuff is not part of it, or at least theirs is not.
Right. No, I'm essentially, when you buy a franchise, you're like buying their product essentially. So like, it's like a business in a box. Like I bought a, business in a box.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, all, but then, so then on the other hand, I'm completely self-employed. So, how much I pay myself is all up to me. All of the numbers is 100% up to me.
Mm.
Where I want to put my business, who I employ, how much I pay them. Is all.
So it's like, we're all blessed in the fact that when you are employed, like self-employed, you control your schedule, right? And you can earn as much money as you want because it's going to come down to your drive and how hard you push it, right?
Right.
But also the downside is like if you're not doing that, then your income's not consistent. There's nobody like even to hang over your head to say, hey, get motivated. Like you have to be so like self-motivated to keep going, right?
Right.
Lack of benefits, that sucks. Like you have to go out and get your benefits.
Right. Health insurance is crazy.
Yeah. People, you know, I can see where people sometimes they're like, I want the security. I want to go and I want to clock in and clock out. I want my 401k. I want, you know, my health insurance. I want to know exactly what I'm making weekly. And being self-employed is not, you know, not desirable to them because there's so much insecurities there, right? We're not completely secured. And then you have the people that are like, I will absolutely not clock in anywhere and have somebody boss me around. And all I could do is be self-employed, right? Mm. But I mean, I could probably do both. It doesn't bug me either way. But
there's pros and cons to being a business owner, for sure. You know, and I think a lot of people assume that if you're self-employed that you're rich or you're wealthy and, you know, but that's not true either because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes running a business just means you draw a salary off of it and you're pretty much in the same range as a lot of other people who don't own their own business
mm-hmm.
because being a business owner, when you do a job and you pay for materials and labor and this and that and your taxes and all
you got
that,
your overhead.
Sometimes there's not much left. Like my grandfather told me, before he went off and started his own business, he saved up enough money to live off for a year because, you know, it takes a while to build it up and get successful to where you're making profit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, you know, he knew there were going to be periods where when he started it, after he would do a job and he would pay materials and labor and stuff and fuel and all that, that there wasn't anything left for him.
Right.
You know, so it's not an easy thing to do to take off and go do your own business. It takes a lot of strategic planning, business plan. I think you've talked about that mm-hmm. before. You know, you got to put a business plan together and you got to kind of outline where you're going and what you want to do and what your goals are. And then you have to build in contingency plans for when things go wrong.
You know?
'Cause a lot of people start out and they just think, and there's nothing wrong with thinking positively, but they just think they're going to go in and make all this money, but they don't put any contingency in or anything like that. And then when things start going wrong, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're underwater mm-hmm. and in the red and the business isn't going to make it.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of overhead costs that people don't think about when they first have the thought of starting a business. You know, you have to have your E&O insurance, right? If something goes wrong, like you need to be
insurance
protected,
is expensive.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much out of pocket that we do that you're exactly right. You know, and then what's left is left.
Yeah.
Right?
Even being a small business, I always end up owing taxes, you know, like I don't mm-hmm. get the end of the year tax check coming back from the government anymore.
Yeah.
Same.
So it's challenging for sure. Lauren, didn't you say you started a business when you were in college too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I was in college, I painted denim jackets.
Did you say denim?
Denim.
Oh yeah. That's one of my favorite words.
Your thing. Yeah. So yeah, I, had all the collegiate licensing. That was extremely, stressful, but
like, what do you mean you painted jackets? Like,
so like Purdue jackets. So I had Purdue licensing. I had Michigan State, just like a design on the back of them, like a Purdue design. So
on like a blue jean jacket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, and that's how I really learned how to do, how you have to have insurance and you have to have an EIN number and file taxes and sales tax and all of that kind of stuff.
You gotta like grow up and be responsible.
Right. 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 And I couldn't just sell jackets out of my dorm room.
What do you guys think about being a business owner and having employees? What do you think about minimum wage?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. What do you like? Should it be higher?
Is that what me personally, I don't really think there should be a minimum wage. And people are probably going to flip out when I say that. But for example, for my business, I know what I need to. I know what I need to run my business and make it successful and profitable. And that requires good, skilled workers. And I'm not afraid to pay them, you know, what they're worth. But I'm not going to pay an unskilled worker the same amount as a skilled worker. And when you start implementing a minimum wage and this and that, and when you start raising that and you're paying people that might not necessarily be worth what you think you should be paying them or what you are paying them, and all of a sudden now you're having to pay all these employees more money, and I in turn have to figure out how to make up for that cost. So it's going to cost, it's my prices to do things are going to raise. And it's no different than, you know.
So are you saying you don't think that there should be a minimum wage because you want the option to pay less than that?
Well, the way I look at it is in my line of business, I would never pay someone less than, what's the minimum wage like? So,
isn't it like $7.25?
$7.25.
But here, I think the minimum wage is though basically to protect. I mean, first of all, that's where maybe they would start, but your skilled person wouldn't be at minimum wage.
Correct.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, if you don't want to, if $7.25 isn't enough for you, then you should not take that job. Mm-hmm. You should go work somewhere else and try and get more, or work on your skills set. You know what I mean? Like going into a job, whether say minimum wage $7.25, if you go into a job and they're going to pay you $7.25, or say there's no minimum wage and they're going to pay you $3, your mindset should not be that you're going to go in and stay at $3 an hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an entry level job.
Well, I do think in today's day and age, there's $7.25. There's no jobs at $7.25. I feel like all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like there doesn't. Really it, what yeah. I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. I think, is there doesn't need to be a minimum wage because nobody's going to pay that anyway. Except, you know, I know with servers it's different because they, I think, make less than minimum wage, but they make up for it in tips, supposedly.
Right. Yeah.
However, I always tip well when I go out, and I know you guys do too. But I know people. I know a lot of people in the serving industry that bitch about people who don't tip. And I think that's bullshit. And sometimes if something happens and their meal wasn't right or whatever, they take it out on the server right. When it wasn't even, you know, she's not back there in the kitchen making the food. But so I don't understand that really. I think,
you know, there's a lot of places now that are, you know, implementing the tip, you know, into the bill. To where that, so that way the servers are not getting screwed. So like if you have an $85 bill, part of that's tip, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so, and maybe they should go that route because a lot of servers do get screwed if they, you know, cook or, you know, somebody messes up in the back. And that's heavily what they're weighing on is their tips. I mean, or relying on.
Right. But I heard on the news today that Indiana unemployment is low, but there's a bunch of jobs out there unfilled. So basically, going back to the minimum wage thing is I don't even really think it's necessary anymore because there's so many jobs out there that you should be able to go find something more than minimum wage anyway. I don't know too many places right now that pay minimum wage starting out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think McDonald's is at like 13. Yeah, that's what they have in the window.
But that's a tricky thing because if you start, well, and then you look at, you know, what McDonald's and a lot of these places are doing is they're putting those automated ordering machines in there where when you go into McDonald's, you punch on a screen what you want. It sends your order back to the kitchen. You're not even talking to anyone anymore. So I don't know. Probably debatable, and some people are definitely going to disagree with what I'm saying. But basically, I think if you're a smart business owner, you're going to go after and pay people what they need to survive. I always tell my guys all the time, my employees, like, I want you to have a career here, and I want you to make decent money to where you're not like worrying about, oh man, how am I going to pay my bills? I need to find another job, you know, because that's not what I want. That's when you want your, you know, best, when you want to get the best performance out of someone, you have to try and ease their mind and give them peace of mind that, hey, I appreciate what you're doing and you're working. I'm paying you what you're worth. And actually I pay bonuses too, you know, so it's based on, okay, if you do this, this, and this, and you, you know, have a good productive week, I'm going to pay you more money than what I pay you on the hour.
Well, I think a lot of business success is, you know, the owners that think in that thought process that you just said, and it's, you know, making sure that your employees feel valued. And I think your business is going to be more profitable when you pay your employees more, when you're taking care of them, because they're not going away, they're not leaving, you're not worried about turnovers, and they're giving you their best. But when they feel undervalued, you're going to have a half-ass employee and your business isn't going to shine, right? It's going to hurt your business overall.
I agree. And I also think that the government needs to be careful with how they tax and regulate certain businesses, because back in the, you know, 60s and 70s, probably prior to the 80s, most everything was made in the United States. But then this, you know, 60s and 70s, the government started laying down more regulation, minimum wage. You were dealing with unions. Well, then all of a sudden, it was getting very expensive to run a business and pay employees and this and that. And it was eating into profits and things like that. So businesses started setting up shop overseas, you know, in China and Korea, all those places now where most everything we buy comes from. And that, I hate that, because I wish we could keep jobs here in the United States, but you know, that's a whole other debate, because, you know, a lot of individuals will come out and be like, well, that's corporate greed and this and that, but there's more to it than that. And I think before you make an opinion or an assumption about corporate greed or this or that, you know, you need to really look at it from both sides. But you know, it's tough, because just being a small business dealing with regulations and taxes, it makes it hard, because, you know, at the end of the year, when our money's, you know, when we're looking at our profit margins, we have to decide what we want to do with that money. How much money do we have to invest back in our company, in our training? Can we give our employees raises, you know, things like that. But when we have to, you know, submit this for or when we pay taxes and we have to submit this and this for insurance and certifications and all this, it eats into that. So those are things that, you know, sometimes I have an issue with what I call kind of government overreach.
Man, you just went down the rabbit hole.
I did.
Me and Lauren are just over here staring.
You guys asked.
Yeah.
I'm like, I pay and drink wine for a living.
Well, eventually, someday, I want to get into a business where I can pay and drink wine, because my business stresses me the hell out all the time.
I obviously do all the other stuff, but that's the
perk about your job or owning that is, like, when I go to your house, I see all the things that you've made. Excuse me, my voice is so bad today because my throat hurts. But I see, like, and look around your house, like, you're so crafty and, like, you have the access to all of it, right? So, like, you know, when you have a class going or people in, I've seen you back there making something, right? And I'm like, oh, I know that's for her house.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on gas prices.
Oh gosh.
And on that, on another note, time to wrap it up.
All right, you guys, you can check us out wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us the thumbs up and subscribe. Hill of Beans with Ezra and Casey. Also, if you want to shoot us an email, it's hofbeans@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group, Hill of Beans with Ezra and Casey, and have a good time with us. Peace.